Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Yeah. Do you want to know what I got? Actually, you know what? We'll get into what I'm doing here in just a minute. Are you guys ready? Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as Rogue's beautifully streaked hair. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is...
Time Pop!
Time Pop!
No, Time Pop.
What did I say? Time...
I don't know. I'm in a weird mood tonight.
She's working on her plosives.
Her
Time Pop.
I know. I did a bad job of naming my first podcast Pop.
All about the plosives, baby.
I was going to try to let Ari lead the Time Pop there because we've been out of sync ever since Zoom took over our lives.
Time Pop. Time Pop.
How about this? You say time, I'll say pop.
Ready, go. Time
Pop. Pop.
Time.
Pop.
Time.
Pop.
Is this like a new song we're about to start making?
Give me a beat, Scott. Time Pop. Time Pop. I think
plosive. Thank God for this windshield in front of the microphone. It's the plosive blocker. Pop.
We watched X-Men: Days of Future Past, the Rogue Cut.
You just sound like you're about to announce a wrestling match.
Let's get ready to X-Men 2014, a Bryan Singer joint starring the X-Men and women.
Yeah.
So I watched this 3 weeks ago when we were originally going to do this episode, and then my life blew up in my face, and we just got back to it this week. And so for my rewatch, Scott told me about this thing called the Rogue Cut. So I figured whatever. But if I'm going to bang it out twice in a month, I might as well mix it up. Watch the Rogue Cut. So much better. Like, I don't think I've seen a director's cut that like doesn't change the story, but still makes the movie so much better on a scene by scene, second by second basis.
Wow. And that's a lot coming from you. Desmond is a person who's a big fan of the 1 hour and 30 minute motion picture. This was already 2:15 and the Rogue Cut is an extra 17 minutes, right?
It is.
So you're giving props to like a 2.5 hour film. That's a compliment.
It really is. And I think that's the only reason they chopped this down, because this movie came out before superhero movies had to be 2.5 hours by law. And, you know, now that Marvel has blown the 2 hour limit out of the water, I think this movie feels more natural at 2:30.
So in the regular theatrical release, Rogue is just not in the movie at all.
The only time you see Rogue is at the very, very end when you see her in the hallway for 4 seconds.
So they just had the kitty character just keep doing the brain thingy?
Yeah, and if you want to know what I'm doing, here, actually, you guys can see what I'm doing. You see this? On the left, that is the Rogue Cut. On the right, that is theatrical DVD release.
Did you start them at the exact same time?
I originally did, and I watched it for a little while that way. And then right before we started recording, I fast-forwarded them both to about an hour left so that we'll be inching towards the credits as we wind down this podcast.
Nerd.
Well, in like the first
nerd,
I'm a nerd. The first scene, the first difference is a 2-second scene of, you guys probably don't even remember it, at the very beginning when they're getting ready to battle the Sentinels, they cut to a bunch of pictures out of nowhere. They just cut to this montage of like photographs and stuff that they had put up as an art project. And that's not in the theatrical version. I didn't stop. I probably should have looked closer because I was like, maybe Rogue's in that picture. Maybe it sets something up for her. But there's a lot of, like, I expected it to just be two Rogue scenes, 2 8-minute Rogue scenes. But they really, really re-edited it a lot. So when was the last time? I assume the last time you guys watched it was not the Rogue cut.
Correct.
How long ago would that have been? How long do you think it's been since you've seen this movie?
Maybe like 1 or 2 years.
When did it come out? That's probably when I saw it.
It came out
2014.
That's correct.
So yeah, that's probably the last time I saw that.
May 23rd, 2014. Rated PG-13. That's right. I already mentioned that, starring the X-Man. So yeah, I was wondering if I wanted to dig into more of the differences, but I think we should just jump into the plot and we will, we'll get off track here and there and we'll talk about this movie. Ari, how does X-Men Days of Future Past, the Marvel motion picture, begin?
So I'm definitely not going to go into super detail with this one because it's long and there's a lot to it, but the timeline starts in the present of this movie, and they don't give any years, right?
The only thing they mention is they say something about 50 years from 1973.
Yeah.
So, meh.
So in this universe of this story, humans have discovered mutants and have started a war with them. They built these giant robots that can adapt and change and are very good at killing mutants. And they've rounded up all the mutants. They've rounded up all the humans who support mutants, and they're like killing them all. And it's, the world looks really kind of almost post-apocalyptic.
I know. I trust me, Scott. I thought about a crossover more than once.
By definition, yes, you are correct. This is a post-apocalyptic film.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug.
Hey, you guys should check out Apocalypse Now, the wonderful show starring Scott Lifton, Callum, and me.
Right, so...
So quick, I'm going to talk to Scott here because Scott seems to usually have memory for this kind of thing. What got us here in the X-Men universe? Like, did this movie... I feel like this movie took a violent jump towards the future and we didn't really get a movie connecting us from the glory days of X-Men to the Sentinels hunting them and killing them.
So this is the second in the
first
the
class
series, in the prequel series. There's First Class, then there's this, then there's Apocalypse, which is a horrible film. Don't worry. Oh, then there's Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is the second in that. This is like their version of like Star Trek Generations.
But First Class is just set back in the day when the X-Men were just getting started. So then this would be about 50 years in the future from the first class movie, right?
Well, yes, the present. But I mean, not the 1973 part, but yes.
No, but the original First Class movie. What year does that take place?
That is a great... That's when there was like the missile crisis, right? I'm going to check that out right now, but that's the 60s.
So the two First Class movies bookend the original X-Men trilogy.
The two First Class movies bookend the trilogy. But then there's Dark Phoenix also. There's Apocalypse and there's Dark Phoenix.
Right, but just talking about X-Men First Class and X-Men Days of Future Past, those two movies bookend the original X-Men trilogy, correct?
Oh, yes. Good way to say it. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Although now that the timeline's been changed, that's a whole weird concept, but you'll get into that later.
Will we? Oh, yeah, we will. That's what we do on this podcast.
Don't you guys talk about time travel?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's a thing.
All right, Ari.
Okay, so the movie opens and humans have been hunting and killing X-Men, or I'm sorry, not X-Men, mutants, right, including humans who support mutants. And they're putting them in like what looks like concentration camps. It looks really bad. And the way that they're doing this is because of these sentinel robots that have the ability to adapt to whatever mutant they are trying to kill. And there's a group of mutants who are fighting these sentinels, and they keep hiding out in different parts of the world. trying to figure out a way to beat these Sentinels. And whenever they're discovered by the Sentinels, one mutant by the name of Kitty, who's played by the girl who played Juno, what's her name? Ellen Page. Right, so Kitty Pryde has the ability to phase through walls and solid mass. And apparently, I didn't
know she doesn't.
What?
Yes, she does.
I thought she kept grabbing the guy that could do that.
She can also make himself. Yeah, no, that's her ability.
Okay, sorry.
She can grab someone and make them immaterial like her.
Okay, I thought it was the other way around.
Okay, so Kitty can walk through walls. She can phase through walls, and if she's touching another person or mutant or whoever, she can make them also phase through walls or solid material. Okay, Des, you with us?
Yes.
You look very confused. Okay.
I got my computer in front of me. I'm researching and listening.
So she can not only do that, but she can also apparently phase through time. She can project somebody's consciousness back through time, which is a pretty big deal. Like, and I wouldn't assume that the two would be hand in hand. Just because you can walk through walls doesn't mean that you can walk through history, at least project someone's consciousness through history. But she can do that.
Yeah, that is a strange grouping of powers.
Yeah. So what happens when this group of mutants gets discovered by the Sentinels is Kitty mentally sends back one of their team members 3 days into the past to warn them. And then they are no longer there when the Sentinels show up. And it's a really cool part of the movie how they show that effect. You know, the blast from the Sentinel is about to, you know, slow motion is about to get them. And it kind of just slows down and then everything disappears. All the people and the Sentinels in the room disappear as if that moment where they made the jump back rewrote the timeline in a ripple effect. Is the way that I took it.
There's definitely only one timeline in this movie.
Right, right. And it's definitely, you know, you change something in the past and it ripples to the future. So
I just want to say this movie, I think, sets up the single timeline better than any movie. Every movie we've watched so far, I feel like there's an argument to be made of tangential universes being broken off when you time travel. But I feel like this really is like, no. There's, you get one shot.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the way they talked about it was that they have just continuously done this little 3-day jump many times, which means they're resetting these 3 days. And who knows how many times they've done that. They're rewriting these 3 days. And the character talked about, you know, I can go back a week or a month, but she said that if anyone were to go back further, like years or decades, that it would be physically impossible and it would tear somebody apart. So there's a toll that is taken on the brain or the mind when you do travel back in time.
Yeah. And it's consciousness traveling they're talking about, right? They're sending consciousness back.
So I was just doing a little bit of research. In the comic books, the first time she is aware of this ability is when her older self travels back to her younger self. And that's how she becomes aware that she has this power. And then she, as a younger mutant, then starts to hone it, since she knows this is something she'll be capable of doing, starts to hone it, and then eventually turns from Kitty Pryde to Shadow Cat,
that's right. So the laws of this time travel is your consciousness travels back and takes over your past consciousness, and your body stays in the present, and everything stays the same in the present until you are done with what is happening in the past and you return, or you're about to return to the present. And that is the moment where the ripple effect takes hold. So you can be sent into the past and you can spend many days there and doing all these things and changing all these things, but nothing in the present will change until your consciousness leaves the past. Till the very moment your consciousness leaves the past, then the ripple effect will take effect and change the future and the present.
Yes. And while you're time traveling, that's all real time.
Right. So real time is happening. Correct. Real time is happening where your body is, and real time is happening in the past. And I'm assuming it's all the same time. In the movie, they didn't show days upon days passing in the present. It was just always dark, you know, in the mountains, wherever they were.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until you just mentioned it, when does the butterfly effect take
place? I think it's when the significant action changes, right? Like when they show it in the final end, once she doesn't shoot the presidents, that's where they disappear in the future. It's the significant act that has the ripple effect. I think that's what changes.
It's once you create a big enough ripple to activate a tidal wave
But you're right about this. This is an actual, it's a one timeline time travel film, and they don't get lost in that this is a loop and it always had to happen. That does not exist in this. I'm pretty proud of them. All the films that try to do that, there's always some loop theory that they maybe didn't intend.
Yeah.
But this one is pretty solid. I don't find holes with that.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they just send your consciousness back and not your body back takes care of that paradox. But there are definitely some holes as far as what they changed and people's origin stories changing, because they changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about butterfly effect, right? There's that theory of like, if Ari goes back in time, she just talks to one person. Who knows what that changes in his child and his future generations? They changed so much major shit that like, if you went back to the future, it would be crazy different. There was like huge major, especially around his world and the X-Men. So that would have huge, not butterfly, it'd be like elephant effects.
Yeah, I wish I could remember. I'm going to have to watch the original trilogy in first class again. But yeah, because Beast is now not... That's right, Beast isn't dead. What's her name?
Jean Grey is not dead.
Yeah.
And then there's also the entire thing that Wolverine gets kidnapped by Stryker and you know, gets like experimented on and mutilated and turned into what he is now. Now Stryker had met him even before that. And then at the end, he's being rescued by Stryker, but it's not Stryker. It's actually Mystique. And so like this would considerably change his whole origin story. And so his finding his way to the mutants.
Do you think in this future / present, does he have adamantium?
Well, he ended up in the future. Oh, I see. I mean, he did end up in the future back at the X-Men, and they all seem to kind of know him. You're right. He could be the bone version. I'm kind of assuming he's not, that he's got adamantium.
So Raven injected him with adamantium?
It's one of the bigger holes in this film. Yeah, I have no explanation for it. You're right. It's almost either she like goes through with it to make sure he has it because she's thinking about the timeline, which is unlikely, or he's in the future and he was just too stunned to figure out if he has steel or not.
Because what changes for him other than being cool and metal when he gets the adamantium? Because it doesn't add any other powers. He's just already has the power to accept that bone transfer.
Yeah, I mean, that goes to like not only that his claws are steel that cannot be destroyed, but his entire skeleton is coated with the adamantium. So it's significant.
Yeah.
By the way, you can also bring up the point that Wolverine of 1973 is going to wake up. Oh, maybe they are covering that. I would say he would be like, I have no memory of what happened in the past week. But if he is about to get kidnapped and experimented on, he would lose his memory anyway.
They talk about that at the beginning. They say that you'll be the only one who knows there used to be a different past.
I mean, I know, but his consciousness, the Wolverine he replaces, the Wolverine in 1973, his consciousness got replaced by the Wolverine of 2023. So when the consciousness of 2023 leaves that body that's in the ocean, if he was to wake up, he would be like, well, how the fuck did I get here?
So you weren't on, Ari and I have had a big discussion on this because of Hot Tub Time Machine.
Which is clearly science.
Exact same story. They go back 20 years into their previous selves. What happens when they zap back that week of, you know, of their bodies being taken over in the 80s? What happens to that? Because especially if you're talking, like this movie doesn't address it as much, but in Hot Tub Time Machine, they're talking about time travel the whole week.
I've got proof on this. Well, proof in the story. Remember when Wolverine gets a little sidetracked when he sees Stryker and then he leaves, he goes back to the future. And then the Wolverine of 73 is like, what the fuck is going on? How did I get here? So that shows you that his consciousness is not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's just like suppressed. It's just like his original consciousness goes into a coma.
Yeah.
And the other one takes over. And so when he had that little bit of a slip in that one scene, he came back awake in a sense and was like, what is going on? And then when Kitty could reconnect him, his original consciousness just went back into a coma.
That's right. They did address it. This movie is getting better. I am so glad I had to watch this twice. And now we're talking about it. Because the first time I watched it, I was like, that's a fun period piece. And then the second watch, it's like, wow, there's some really cool time travel stuff. And then now, of course, talking to you guys, really digging it up. This is getting good.
So not only, Desmond, is this not an hour and a half film? You watched it twice now. This is a 5-hour film for you.
And it's on dedicated. Right now. And they're both on right now.
Nerd. The first time, I was just telling Ari, the first time I saw this, I was disappointed. Like, I thought there wasn't much action, and they're just trying to talk people into things and messing up. And each time I watch it, I like it a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's well crafted. And minimal holes for a time travel film.
And you're
especially one that's not looped.
Did you read any X-Men comics?
Yes.
Yes. So how was this based on the original comic book story? Can you comment on that at all?
I did not read the original Days of Future Past. So that I did not read.
All right.
But I would like to.
Oh.
Exactly.
So getting back to a little bit about the plot, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but the only person who is able to withstand this mental strain of traveling is, of course, Wolverine, even though it was Professor Xavier that was supposed to go. And one thing I wanted to kind of point out was the scene where Wolverine is trying to give young Professor X a pep talk after he failed at using Cerebro. And he said, you know, look into my mind and then look past my mind. And so young Xavier, through Wolverine's mind, traveled into the present and talked with his future self. Do you remember that, Des?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really cool scene. So Professor Xavier is also powerful enough to channel through someone who is traveling. So essentially he just kind of walked through that path that was being created by Kitty and with Wolverine and talked to his future self. And I thought that was a really cool effect.
That was a great way to allow the one who should have time traveled to time travel a little bit, to utilize Wolverine's strong mind to do that.
And he gave a good pep talk. It was a solid pep talk.
It was. I think that was a little bit, I feel like that was a little bit longer in the Rogue cut.
Yeah.
The best part, I know we're not there yet, but just the best part of the Rogue cut is when Xavier goes to break Rogue out, one of the Sentinel hands gets stuck on their aircraft. And that piece of Sentinel is what the other Sentinels follow to find their hideout. And in the non-Rogue cut, that's not there. In the non-Rogue cut, the Sentinels just find them because that's what Sentinels do.
Yeah.
And they don't get tipped off at all. And that was the best part. So Wolverine goes back. His main job is to convince...
So the main goal of traveling back in time is to prevent this one scientist from obtaining Mystique's DNA and also from preventing Mystique from shooting that scientist. So I'm guessing in the original story, and Scott, if you know, you can verify this, is Mystique, what they said, was captured by these scientists and was held for a while, and they were able to get all of the genetic material that they needed. He talked about wanting like brain and spinal fluid and all these things. And from that was able to create the technology that the Sentinels used to shapeshift and adapt. So do you know, Scott, if that was in the storyline?
Well,
you're saying in the comics, or you mean in the original?
In the comics.
I don't know about the comics, but for the story, I mean, yeah, that's the storyline.
Well, in the movie, they show at the very beginning, they show a little bit of the original timeline where she shoots Trask and then she gets hit with the 10,000 volts, and then
she got captured.
Right. Well, she got captured by the taser, and then in the new timeline, when they break into that office room right when she gets tasered, And that's when Magneto uses his metal powers to take the tasers out of him, out of her, out of Mystique, and put him in Stryker. So, like,
right.
It started...
I don't know enough about Mystique's origin story to know if that was ever in the comic. But the robots at the end of the movie didn't have that shape-shifting ability yet. Is that correct?
Right, but they still, even though they didn't capture her, they did capture some of her blood because of the wounds she did sustain. So again, it didn't create, you know, they talk about throwing a pebble in the river of time. So even though they threw a pretty big pebble in the river of time and didn't capture Mystique, they still got some of her blood. So they were still on track to create the shape-shifting Sentinels.
Right. So we're getting way off.
Yeah.
As far as the overview goes. But I just wanted to ask you guys. So at the end, Mystique essentially saves the president by impersonating him. And then she doesn't shoot the scientist guy. And at the end, it shows the Sentinel program was demolished, or they didn't go through with it. And at the end, the X-Men school is all happy and thriving. So does that mean that in this new timeline, there was never any issue with humans and mutants? Because there still were issues between humans and mutants. You know, it's a big part of the story of X-Men.
Yeah, and which she's right. And that's what I'm saying. There were huge ripples. Like, Wolverine came back to this future where, like, they probably had more minimal conflicts. Yeah, they didn't have to deal with any. It probably set a whole future where, like, mutants were kind of more respected. Yeah, it's kind of gross in this, like, utopian happy ending where, like, everyone's alive and there's no hate and everything's perfect now.
Yeah, is that why they had to make Apocalypse, was to make sure that everything got back to, like, does everyone die in Apocalypse and reset us back to, like, Jean Grey being dead and Beast being gone?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. It's funny, I've seen that film twice and I still don't remember, except that he was, like, the first mutant and, like, super powerful. I don't think anything drastic happens like that.
So the one thing they did leave was Magneto in the past, still kind of, you know, still evil, and they let him go. And so that still opens up the possibility of Magneto collecting some mutants to make the, you know, the bad mutants. Because the mutants are usually fighting other mutants in a lot of stories, not just humans.
So why? Yeah, because at the end of this, Magneto's still going away to be a dick. Oh, and in the theatrical cut too, they don't show Trask in the Magneto jail. That's a Rogue cut addition, which I don't know what that adds, but I like that they put a human in Magneto's prison cell because they feared.
Really, is that the post credit scene?
No,
because I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I remember seeing him.
I don't remember seeing him in the Pentagon prison.
Maybe it was, well, because I'm pretty, unless maybe it was part of the stinger as well, but the main stinger is showing someone, Scott, I don't know if you know who that is, or Ari, building the pyramids.
Oh, which, yeah, that's the guy from Apocalypse.
Oh, they're setting up Apocalypse. Okay.
Yeah, they're setting up the next film.
That makes sense.
Can I just say that the scene where they are breaking Magneto out of the Pentagon with the Silver Surfer, what's his name?
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, sorry, my apologies. Quicksilver is one of my favorite scenes out of, like, all movies ever.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And I am a diehard Flash fan. Like, speed powers is my jam. And that is the only scene that's ever handled it properly. That's for Quicksilver, who, like, nah. And no one's gotten it right in that Justice League movie. The Flash shows, and they've had their moments, but, like, that is perfect. And the way he perceives time, which, again, related to time travel, someone with that power is, like, very in the realm of everything we talk about. How he perceives time is very different than other humans. And, like, the way that he's, like, just everything's, like, annoying to him. Everyone's slow. He's already done a million things in the time that you took a second to breathe, and they handled it.
So good.
Yeah, it was just visually perfect. Like, every raindrop you could see, every ripple in the skin. My only issue with that, and I'm just getting technical here with the flaws, is he puts on his headphones to listen to music while he's doing this. And in order for the music to be playing at his speed, right? It would have to be played, what, 1,000 times as fast or something?
You could argue that that's for us as the viewer, our benefit, that he's not.
No, but he's wearing headphones, though.
Wearing, yeah.
Like, if it was just for us.
Wait, how is, if this is 1973, how is he listening to the music portably on headphones? Unless it's just a radio.
It was like a Walkman.
They didn't have Walkmans, like cassettes then.
Not in 73.
Not in 73. They did not have Walkmans in 73.
Oh, another hole.
Scott! Yes!
Oh, no.
You should look it up.
It could have been a radio and it just happened to play that song. Oh, that's an issue. Damn it.
So wait, they didn't have any kind of portable music player in 73?
Just a radio.
But they didn't have like...
No.
They didn't have cassette tapes. They didn't have... What are those big ones called? A-tracks?
They didn't have portable A-track. The A-tracks existed, but I don't think they ever made portable.
Yeah, no, it was not an A-track.
So it was either a radio or it's a flaw.
It's a radio, it's a flaw. And if you guys want another little nerd fact, Quicksilver, well, actually they hinted at it in the movie, Quicksilver's dad is Magneto, which as we were watching this film was like, how old is Magneto supposed to be in this? 30, 35? And the kid is like...
17.
But he says that thing like, oh, what do you say? He's like, my mom used to date a guy like that. And so I guess if Magneto did the deed at 17, he's like 35 now, it's doable. Anyway, fun fact. Nerd.
Yes.
So Magneto's son is Quicksilver, and apparently Xavier's son is Legion? Legend.
Legion.
Legion.
Legion? Not Legend, Legion. Anyway, we're watching that show too. It's beautiful, but so slow. Anyways, so in conclusion, they get Mystique to not shoot the scientist. And just in that moment, time ripples forward and the Sentinels are never made. Everybody is all saved. Everything is beautiful. Apparently, Wolverine can survive underwater for a very long time. Apparently, he's very hard to kill.
He's healing.
I don't see how that's possible.
I mean, his body is healing so fast that...
The only thing that I could possibly grasp onto as a scientific-minded person is he has tardigrade DNA, because tardigrades don't need oxygen and they can survive in the vacuum of space.
I think he needs oxygen, but I think he's underwater, he dies, his body heals, he wakes up, but then he drowns again. If he was under there, I think he'd be dying eternally, drowning over and over again.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. Yeah. I'm glad he got rescued.
Well, and it could be that his future living consciousness was keeping his past consciousness alive too. Like he was using his life force from the future.
So when Wolverine wakes up in the present, that 50 years of his past self is just erased. It's just gone. So any relationships,
the fights they had, right, the things that happened with Jean, it all could be super different.
Yeah.
And that's going to feel pretty lonely.
Yeah, it's weird that, you know, they talk about how he's going to be the only one who's aware that there were two versions of the past, but yet he doesn't have any memory of it. It seems like it'd be of those 50. Yeah, you'd think it'd be one or the other. You'd think he would have a full ripple memory remembrance, or he would just wake up from a coma.
He remembers an alternate universe future that doesn't exist.
Especially when he's the history teacher. Like,
yeah, that's the joke.
Yeah, I mean, now it makes sense. Now that he's traveled back to the future, it makes sense that he would be a good history teacher. But for him to be the history teacher before, so yeah, and. Xavier is aware, I guess, because of that conversation he had with himself.
Oh, yeah.
Is that why he's aware?
Right.
No, he's aware because he still lived the 50 years. His younger self knew about Wolverine, the time traveler. Wolverine convinced him that he's from the future and he's got to do all these things. So he knew of him and knew that he's going to have to eventually...
So that means...
Wake up.
Beast would know.
Yeah.
That means...
Magneto would know. Mystique. Mystique. All these years, they've had such a different impression of Wolverine than they would have normally.
I just never told him.
And never... They've all, let's just keep it a secret until he remembers for 50. They're good at keeping secrets. But it's hard to like keep secret for a surprise party. They did that for 50 years. That's impressive.
Yeah, what the... happened to Wolverine? I gotta know if he's got adamantium now. What did Mystique do with him?
If they would have left Mystique's eyes out of that, that would have been so much better. It would have been history made sense. Stryker still gets him. He still is going to get his memory erased anyway, and he's still going to get that adamantium, and at least that's on track. If they didn't put Mystique in there, it would make so much more sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
She agrees.
Yeah.
Ari agrees.
Ari approved.
Sorry, I need to look this up.
What, if he still has adamantium? I don't think it'll say that anymore.
Wait, what's the correct pronunciation? Is it adamantium?
Adamantium.
Adamantium.
No.
Adamantium is when you replace your skeleton with adamant records.
What?
Oh, so you don't know this. So Ari is younger than myself. Adamant is a pop singer from the 80s.
Is that 86753? No.
No, he did songs like Goody Two Shoes.
Yeah.
Goody Two Shoes, Don't Drink, Don't Smoke.
Goody Two Shoes, Goody Goody Two Shoes.
So adamant. So when you guys keep saying adamantium, it's like I'm thinking of adamant. Yeah.
So Ari, if for those of you that don't know, Monday Ari is having her 23rd birthday.
On Monday, yes, I'm turning 29 again.
29.
In the comics, it's funny. There's this thing where Superman was always considered to be an eternal 29. That's like this ideal age, right? Wise enough for the 20s.
Yeah, I'm like Superman.
That makes perfect sense.
Oh, it is adamantium.
Yeah!
I used to always think that, and then I saw it made fun of in like Mad Magazine, and they called adamantium, and then I was like, oh, it's adamantium, and they're just making fun of it. And it is adamantium.
Wow, Scott, you've been wrong this whole time.
No, I was right, and then I was wrong, and then I was right.
Wait, when were you right if it's adamantium?
My first original thought was that it was adamantium back in the day, and then I saw like it being satired and then making fun of it. It is adamantium. Okay, good. I'm glad we established this. You're a fucking nerd.
That is a reference to our Hot Tub Time Machine episode. So if you haven't heard the Hot Tub Time Machine episode, please go watch the movie and listen to the podcast.
Go back in time and listen to the podcast and come back to the present so you'll have the correct memory of the new timeline.
And get the joke that we are making right now.
What are you looking up right now? What is bothering you?
Mystique rescuing Wolverine instead of Stryker.
Yeah, it really sets it, like they're doing that thing where they just erased all of the X-Men films, you know, which I guess people like to do their reboots, like this first Star Trek kind of the reboot. It erases all the history by changing it, but there's something that's kind of deflating
it
about
it. Says
that, right?
It telegraphed Mystique's arc in the subsequent films. No, it didn't.
Yeah, because her in the original X-Men series, she is bad guy number two, right? She's the biggest badass after Magneto. Mm-hmm. And now they're setting her up to be, oh, that's right. When they do like Dark Phoenix and Apocalypse, it's like they start doing like 80s and like 90s X-Men. And so they're just kind of changing her story. They're making her like always a good guy and never.
Yeah, but she was really not the good guy from what I remember.
Totally.
Her, she was like bad, always bad.
Just because it was Jennifer Lawrence and they wanted to give her a better role.
Okay. So yeah, so it was. It, you know, everything ends up kind of the way at some point, you know, it's not really explained. At some point, Wolverine ends up in the real Stryker's custody. I think this is one of those things that the director, Bryan Singer, was just like, oh, this would be so cool. And then didn't think past how cool it would look just as a scene. Okay.
So besides these, which are just how the world would be different, there's not holes with at least their theory of traveling back once, and that's impressive. That is rare.
Yeah,
at least with like the loop thing, that history did happen as it happened. This is the first time it's been changed. We don't know what that difference is, but it's relatively sound. We're just wondering like, oh, what's gonna happen with this and that, but it works.
Yeah, since there's so many movies attached to it, it's easy to get caught up in all that bullshit. But as just this film is concerned, it's really tight. It's really good.
Yeah, the time travel is sound.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Time Pop, brought to you by Sounds Awesome. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of this movie. Please check us out on social media. We are at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram, and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. You can email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. We would love to read your thoughts aloud on air, and definitely let us know about a movie you would like featured on a future episode. We have Apocalypse Now, where Scott, Callum, and Dez talk about apocalypse-ish movies. Movies about society going through a difficult situation, not unlike the one we are currently living through. Want to check out some non-movie-related podcasts? Check out All the Answers. You have questions? The Record Keepers have answers? Cassidy and Katie have sassy comments? Who are the Record Keepers? You'll have to listen to find out. And our newest addition to the Sounds Awesome family, Truth Not Trends. Liam Bauer and Jesse Schmidt have a combined 35 years of strength training, and they are here to keep you strong, fit, and motivated through these difficult times. Please visit our website at whatsoundsawesome.com to find all these fine podcasts, or just search Sounds Awesome in your podcaster of choice to find these fine shows. Please rate and review. And now, back to the exciting conclusion of this episode. Since we've already kind of talked about, like, traveling through time, mental time travel, we've done that in future. Go listen to another podcast. You can listen to us talk about that. Scott, which X-Men are you?
Sir, yes, sir.
If you were an X-Men, what would mutation be?
I mean, there's like, this starts getting into very philosophical conversations of who you are versus who you think you are versus who you want to be. I mean, it's complicated. You know, I am a big worshiper of the Quicksilver powers, so I like that. I grew up as a kid really liking Cyclops, and now as an adult, I'm like, I don't know, it's pretty boring. He's a pretty vanilla character. So yeah, I'll stick with Quicksilver for right now, although I could be goofy like a Nightcrawler.
Do you want to make up your own mutation? Or are you happy?
Yeah, the ability to eat large quantities of cheese without affecting my anatomy.
Very nice. I want to go along those same lines. I want to say that I'm unaffected by carbs. Ari, which X person are you?
One that already exists. I would have to say I really liked Nightcrawler too, just being able to teleport like that. But who was the girl in the movie who could throw the purple portal?
Oh, you stole mine. Blink.
Yeah, Blink. Yeah. That's a pretty cool ability to have as well. So maybe that one.
Yeah. That actually came up even without even thinking about this movie. We were doing we got these stack of questions that we use sometimes with the kids to get through dinner without yelling at each other, and one of them was, if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be? And I decided at that point, it's like, I want to be able to shoot portals. I think, like Scott was saying, like, it's what you want compared to what you will get. Like, I'd like the portals, or maybe the Quicksilver as well. I'd probably just have a tail.
Like a regenerating tail? At least that's a little more interesting.
That would be cool. I would just, as long as it could swat flies, as long as I could have both hands free and still swat flies off my face, I'd be happy.
I want your hero to be called the Beaver.
The Beaver Tail?
It's a Beaver Tail. So it feels like a Beaver Tail you could do a little more damage with.
I like.
And maybe you've got like buck tooth also to change your appearance.
Exactly. Yeah, I want there to be more time travel talk, but this was it's a great movie, but the time travel is pretty basic and sound and straightforward. And
this theoretically takes place in the future, right? So you get future and past in it, which is kind of unique. Although there's no time traveling to the future. The future is the present.
Well, the past travels to the future through.
Oh, yeah. The past travels to the future. So you got some stuff for Ari to play. Ari likes getting future invited. It's very rare, right? It's always you just go to the past.
I touched on this a little bit, but the Rogue Cut, people. Watch the Rogue Cut. So in the regular theatrical version, Rogue isn't in it except for the very last second. You see her just because. So what they do is so Kitty Pryde is the one sending Wolverine back in time, and Wolverine goes berserker for a minute while he's on the table time traveling and ends up slicing Kitty Pryde. So she's in a lot of pain and it's taken a lot of stamina for her to keep Wolverine back in time. And if you guys don't know, what Rogue's ability is she can touch a mutant and take their power from them. So I forget where she was.
Wait, I have a question about that. She touches a mutant and takes their power indefinitely? Or is there a limit to how long she has their power?
I don't know, because I thought she would have to maintain contact with Kitty. Because what she actually does is sucks their life force out of them. So if she touches someone too long, she kills them.
Yeah, I think it's until she gets a new power, until she touches someone else.
Okay. And I feel like there was a time where I think she kind of got her powers got cooler. Like, I don't know that she could do it this way until recently, which maybe is why she's being held prisoner. So yeah, and in rescuing Rogue also, Xavier and Beast, a couple other X people go with him. One of them dies. It's a really, really good scene too. There's a lot of dualism. Like, they do a lot of double scenes in the Rogue cut. Like, they do while they're rescuing Rogue in the future, trying to think what they're showing in the past, but they're doing a simultaneous scene in the past where they're going through a rescue scene. So yeah. And then, so yeah. So also that sets up, like I mentioned, the Sentinels attack them while they're rescuing Rogue. One of the piece of the Sentinels gets stuck on the aircraft that Xavier flies back to their hideout. And then that's what the Sentinels use in order to track them to their hideout and for the final battle. And it's so there's that major thing, but then they kind of just recut the whole movie in, I think, a more interesting way. And the extra 17 minutes really, really flows well. And the added scenes don't feel like they throw you out of the flow of the movie. And I'm just here to full on recommend the Rogue cut if anyone out there is looking to watch this movie.
You can see why they cut it though, right? I mean, it slows it down. That whole rescue is not necessary to the plot, but then they have to eliminate her entirely. But yeah, I liked it. The film was good enough that I wanted the extra 17.
Yeah.
But it's like they're in the middle of about to being like exterminated. Like, let's go on a rescue mission halfway around the world.
But it makes sense. Like, they make it make sense with the Sentinels tracking them. You know, I mean, like I said, it's not that it totally doesn't make sense without it, but it adds that extra twist in there.
And then Iceman dies in the rescue of her, as opposed to in the original film, he dies defending them back at the home front.
Yeah.
And he has a love triangle with both of the ladies. So that's, you know, it's relevant, sort of, but not really.
Oh, and Mystique and Beast make out, baby. That's worth the Rogue cut right there. They don't make out in the theatrical cut.
Yeah, man. Blue on blue, baby.
Hell yeah. That's some hot stuff. I was disappointed when that got cut short. I was hoping.
Totally. Then he grabs Mystique butt, and then I forgot what she says to him, and then the moment's just done. Like bringing up someone's mother in the middle or something.
Totally.
What did she, like, what'd you say to me that day that you were super disturbed? And he's like, oh.
Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Oh, thanks, guys. I love getting a nerd out whenever I can. Appreciate it.
Ari, it's so good to be back again.
I know. I feel like it's been months.
It's been close to a month. It's been, I think it has. I think it's been a month. And let's do it again.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Desmond McNeese.
And Ariel Gala. Bye.
And...
Oh, usually I'm just there. I don't do the sign off that. Okay. And Scott Lifton. Bye.
Men in Black 3 next week. That was a Sounds Awesome production.